This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all
I do. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. As you are standing with the word, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Our threefold cord Christian couples ministry was in a retreat on this past weekend in New Orleans, and they were talking about a total quality marriage and how drawing close to God helps you grow close to each other. And we dealt with their theme verse at 7 a.m., Romans 8, 38 and 39 verses. But at this hour, I want to deal with Ephesians as led by the Spirit of the Lord. And I want to commence reading at verse 18. And it says of the fifth chapter of Ephesians, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Dealing with a total quality marriage. One of the reasons why people are joined together is to enhance what already exists. Marriage takes both love and life to a whole new level. Marriage must, however, especially covenant marriage, godly marriage, must have its root in the will of God. Make no mistake about it. The Bible says, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. But let me hasten to say, everything that's joined together, God didn't join it. It is clear, because God would never join darkness with light. He separated them. God would never join saved with unsaved. God would never join right with wrong. God would never join together those two persons who are diametrically opposite of one another and cannot enhance one another. But however, because he respects the institution of marriage, and you have made a choice to be with whoever you're with, God has sanctified it. And so therefore, just because now you found out that she or he ain't him or her, it doesn't give you no right to run down to the divorce court and say, I want a divorce. But it has happened, and it does happen, because as I stated this morning, we do not love with the love of God. If couples love each other as 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 4 through 8 reveals, with that God kind of love, there would never be another divorce in the Christian world again. We don't know these things, and that's why the devil wreaks havoc in our relationships, in our marriage. I shared earlier, when a couple comes to me and they are in counseling, and we get to the part where we go over the vows, and the part is read where, especially to the young lady, to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, obey him. And she looks with that look on her face like, you kidding, I ain't got to say that part, do I? And I inevitably say to her, is there a problem? And I explained to the church earlier that if the woman has a problem obeying the man that is the head of the relationship, he is the priest of that household, he is the one, like Adam, that God has given charge over that situation. If he's not the one who has your best interest, who loves you like Christ loved the church, then you've got a problem. You ought not be getting married now. Amen. Why would you have a problem obeying someone who loves you like Christ loved the church? Why would you have a problem obeying someone who would never disrespect you, do anything wrong, lead you wrong, who always has your best interest? Why would you have a problem doing that, unless you know it's already messed up? Marriage is not a cure-all. You got people who are messed up now because they love the idea of being married. And so they rush into marriage with the wrong person, and then they realize that it was not all it was cracked up to be. Marriage is a joined union between believers, biblically speaking, that God has brought together for his glory and for their good. Now understand this, because if you're in a situation where you are already, again, at that point and place where you're married, you need to see, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I don't have time to go and deal with it. Please go through it. Look at verses 4 through 8. And if you follow them, I promise you, if you will take responsibility for your part, you won't have to worry. God will handle the rest. Now, I want to get here because there are some things that I want us to see in Ephesians here, because it deals with a qualitative marriage here. And first of all, it's saying, wherefore, verse 17, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
You see, unwise folk don't understand what God's will is. Here, it moves on. It's talking about godliness, etc., talking about the family and the structure and the church and all of that. But you've got to know what the will of God is in that arena as well. One of the things that it says, and I want to lift up in verse 18, the last word, but it says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, the Spirit is where I want to begin, because if we are baptized and born again with the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God bears fruit. It is in the fruit that we understand that the Spirit is the root of all that we do. He is the root. He's the guide. He's the foundation. He's the structure. And so when we have Him in our relationships, first of all in our life and then in our relationships, then He gives us guidelines. He gives us characteristics and traits of Himself. And they are found, if you just back up to Galatians, the book right before Ephesians, and you want to see in chapter 5 some things that it says about Him and His characteristics. Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," and the first fruit of the Spirit that's evidenced in your life and then in your relationship and then in your marriage is love. And if you couple that with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, you're going to see love, that strong foundation, again, that God kind of love that is a real love, a rich love, a pure love, an everlasting love, is the very thing that's going to keep you together when your love gets weak. See, we love folk because of. And so when they act up, our love act up. But when we love folk in spite of, then regardless of how they act up, we still love them anyhow. Because Jesus says, "Love ye one another even as I have loved you." So that means because He's loved you with an agape love, when your eros love, that love between man and woman, seems to dissipate or seems to get weak, if you continue to love them with agape love, I promise you it'll get strong again. God's word is real. God's word is sure. God's word is right. I shared before, you don't fall out of love. You fall out of focus. And when you fall out of focus, wherever you focus your attention, that's where your feelings. Feelings. Nothing more but. Oh, y'all know the song. I don't sit there and act like you don't. Because here's what you realize or recognize in the same regard, that the person that caught your attention and your affections before, you focused on them, and somewhere in the marriage you lost your focus. And because your feelings are connected to your focus, you lost your feelings. But I promise you, if you just go back and focus more intently on what you found the first place, you will still find it in them if you focus enough there. Now, here's the problem. Some of us are cockeyed. You know what that means, don't you? That's when it looks like I'm looking at you with one eye and the other eye. And so some of you can't focus because you can't do a single focus. And that means your feelings are split. Trying to love too. Come on, somebody. Don't act all holy there. Ain't easy to do. Y'all don't know that, huh? Okay. All right. I'm going to preach anyhow. I'm going to hit you right where you live. Trying to help you out. God said you can't love Him and mammon. You're going to love one or hate the other. You're going to have to cleave to the one and leave the other. That's where your focus. Listen to this. Unless you think that it's always another woman or another man, it can be your children. It can be your mama, your daddy. It can be your best friend. It can be anybody who takes the focus off of your mate. It could be your job. But it means that you've lost your focus. And so your feelings go running right behind your focus. And so whatever it is you focus on loving strong enough, your love starts growing for that. And so that's why we've got to understand that if we focused on God's word, God's word will bring into us those things that we need to keep our focus the way that he wants it to be, so that we can get out of the relationship what is necessary. Now again, Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first thing. But right after love, it's connected to joy. Right after joy, it's connected to peace. And when you got peace, you can suffer long. And when you've got love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, you can be gentle, because you begin to realize that if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on your side, who had done for you what you could not do for yourself, who had been patient with you, then it gives you the patience to be gentle with other folk. And then goodness and faith, and then meekness and temperance. And the word says, against such there is no law. When you begin to operate in the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law that can condemn you. There is nothing your mate can say against this operation. Listen at this. It says, and they, verse 24, that are Christ's, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you recognize when you belong to the Lord and you're talking about a Christian marriage, you then, through Jesus Christ and the evidence of the Holy Ghost, have crucified the flesh. And with crucifying the flesh, you crucify the affections and the lust for any and everything that is not like God. So when the devil tries to put something in your face, you learn that the neck is able to turn the head. And if you're in a place where you can't turn your head, close your eyes. Because you've got to realize how the devil enters in and how he tries to tempt and tease you. And he knows where your weaknesses are based on your past record. When the Lord saves you and delivers you, you still are you. Yes. Just a better you. Yes. With a new nature. But every now and then, the enemy tries to show you a picture of your past. Yes. And when he does, it's up to you to declare, I'm a new creature. Yes. Old things are passed away. Yes. Behold, all things are become new. Your focus is new. Your passions are new. Your desires are new. And they're all godly. Amen. Let's go back, if you will, because when you look at this word again, but the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes what we don't recognize in relationships, and especially in marriages, we are in high maintenance relationships. High maintenance. I don't care what you say. Marriage is high maintenance. You can tell a well-tuned marriage because the persons involved are careful to pay attention and to take care of one another. A high maintenance marriage, I mean, the term doesn't sound good, but the truth of the matter is, when it becomes a low maintenance marriage, that's mostly when you have high problems. But when you take care of the marriage, then you have little problems. And then the little problems don't last too long, because you learn not to let the sun go down on your wrath, and you start dealing with things openly and honestly, and you expose the enemy, because the longer you let the enemy reside in you, he resides in part of your relationship, part of your marriage. But when you expose the enemy and make it clear that you want things to get right, to stay right, to be right, then you deal with them in a right way. Amen. And that's God's way. That's it. In the love of God. I shared earlier, we come to marriages today with the option of, if it don't work out, I can get out of here. But with a covenant marriage where it's between God, you, and that other person, It is a I'm in it to win it mentality. It is a clear case of we are in the will of God. We are joined together by God, and we're not going to let man nor us separate this. It means we are in it till death do us part. And listen, I promise you, you'll look at the person you're trying to get with, talking about marriage, a whole lot differently if you knew that that was going to be your partner for the rest of life. Because see the things you don't like about him now? The things you don't like about her now? And then it becomes clear that you're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life. And what if you can't change that? The question is, can you live with that? You see, you got to come to the conclusion of whether you can live with those things or whether you cannot live without that person. And when you come to the reality that you can't live without that person, then you'll be able to live with those things. But you can't live with somebody that's not meant for you the way God wants you to, without having some situations, trials, and tribulations that you're going to have to deal with. But here is the thing that you must understand as well, that it is, when we come to this point in this place, the will of God that we would know his will. When we went to Ephesians and we talked about it in the 17th verse, you got to know the will of God. That's the first place. And the Spirit reveals that to you. Everything and everybody who lines up to your standards don't always line up to God's. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever made a decision on a person based on the external? And then when you got to know the internal, it made you realize that it was just a flesh thing. I mean, you can like what you see and don't like what you get. See, if anybody look like they sleep now, wake them up. Touch them. They don't want to hear the truth now. I know you're stuck, but we're going to make the best out of a bad situation for some of you. Some of you about to get stuck. I'm trying to keep you from getting that way. Listen, if you here and your mate ain't here, we got some issues. Unless they're working and couldn't be here. But if that's a constant thing, you need to look at what you're getting right now. Because marriage is not going to change it. And you ought not be getting somebody that you got to change anyhow. Not if God joined you together. But listen at this. If God joins two together, they are mutually going to be a blessing to each other. Maybe not in the same way, because what you've got to understand is when God fits something together, he usually puts something that something else needs with something that is needed. Which means when he blends it together, you might not bring the same thing to the table, but what you do bring to the table is needed. It's what's called compensating differences. And so when you do that and you recognize that, I've learned a long time ago to stop looking at folk and judging how in the world they got together. I'm just being real with you, because I look at some couples and I'm like, Jesus. And my mama told me a long time ago, there's somebody for everybody. I've also learned that those cute couples don't always have a cute marriage. You know, those folk that look like they got it all together and everything coordinated from head to toe. Now, I ain't talking about nobody now. I ain't talking about you up here. Because we do have some couples who be dressed head to toe, and they're looking good. And they got it good behind the scene. But there are some who are pretending and performing on Sunday mornings, hurting and broken, and yet they pretend like it's all well. But God can make all of that right if we would submit. According to, I want you, if you got some paper and pencils, I want you to jot down some of these definitions for persons who have these kind of traits in high maintenance relationships. And you If you don't want to write down this, there are 15 of them that I'm going to give you. Les Parra discusses this. And if you don't, just listen and then write down the ones that apply to you. You know you're in a high maintenance relationship with a person who may be one, a critic. And let me define what a critic is according to him. Constantly complains and gives unwanted advice. A critic. Then there is the martyr, forever the victim and racked with self-pity. That's the person who's always the underdog, everybody always doing them wrong, always crying, always whining, always having a pity party. The wet blanket, that's pessimistic and automatically negative. I mean, I don't care what going on, it's like a wet blanket, that puts out all your fire. You happy, that eagle, wet blanket. You like, hate to see them coming because they're pessimistic and negative every time. I don't care what good news you got to tell them, they're gonna listen and then they're gonna say, but. And bring in the negativity. The steamroller. Steamroller is the person who's blindly insensitive to others. I mean, it's their way, it's their will, it's what they think. They don't care what you think, you ain't got no opinion. This is what I want to do, this is where I want to eat, this is where I want to go, this is how it's gonna be. I don't care what you say. They just steamroll right over everything. The gossip. Spreads rumors and leaks secrets. You might be in a relationship with somebody like that. The control freak. Unable to let go and let be. And most of us deal with, at some point in time, some of those in our lives. The backstabber. Irrepressibly two-faced it. The cold shoulder. Disengages and avoids contact. Cold shoulder. You know how y'all get. Brothers know something about the cold shoulder. But sisters also know something about the cold shoulder. Because men naturally who have issues with expressing and articulating their feelings, when they get in an argument and can't express it the way that they ought to, they then turn the cold shoulder, clam up, don't say nothing, and they just like little kids, they just pow. Want something? No. You gonna do that? No. Everything is, just short and boom. What's wrong with you? No. You know, y'all get in the car, you riding somewhere. You was dating Negro all over here. Driving sideways. Cold shoulder. Hanging out the window. He got no windshield. What's wrong with you? No. The green-eyed monster. Always wants what someone else has. Envy. Then there is the volcano. Builds steam and is ready to erupt. I mean, it's like they keep everything in. And they're building steam. And every little thing you do, they got note of it. You might not see them write it down, but it's written on the tablets of their heart and found in the archives of their memories. And on that day when they can't take no more, what's wrong with you? You hungry? They're getting ready to erupt. And man, you hear some stuff. That happened 3 years ago. You like, I know you ain't still holding that in. And they come back and with an itemized list.